Hey there, and welcome to Bustin' Out of Breast Cancer, the podcast that educates, empowers, and inspires those impacted by breast cancer. I'm your host, Shannon Burrows, a realtor who found her purpose at the intersection of passion and pain while navigating her own breast cancer journey and loves giving back to my community. Having worked with so many breast cancer survivors and their families, I understand the challenges they face and the importance of raising awareness about this disease and bridging the gap between the medical and fitness industries. Join us as we share stories of survivors, caregivers, and healthcare professionals who are making a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Our goal is to raise awareness, provide resources, and create a community of support for those affected by this disease. I have a mission of changing the world one smile at a time. So whether you're a breast cancer survivor, a loved one, a friend, or just interested in learning more, this podcast is for you. Let's bust out of breast cancer together and make a difference in the lives of those affected by this disease. All right. Welcome back. On this week's episode, we have my dear friend, Michelle Sloan. She is actually a spiritual practitioner and holistic. She takes a holistic approach to wellness, which I think we all could use. She's been extremely, extremely beneficial in my life. I like to say that she's on my board of the committee up here, and she's on my board of directors, telling me which way I need to be going and not going and checks myself. We actually did a nice little receiving together before we hopped on this podcast. So I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode because Michelle is amazing. She's so spiritual, so peaceful, so like, I don't know, she's just amazing. I want you to know all about her so you can follow her and, you know, feel just as grounded as I am with her. So welcome, Michelle. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks for that lovely intro.
Well, I had like literally like an entire paragraph that I was going to do, but then I was like, God, it's just going to be like me talking the whole time. It sucks. So let me introduce you the proper way in which I had it written down from your website. Spiritual practitioner trained in the study of science of mind and in the art, science, and skill of affirmative prayer and counseling. She is a ordained minister, a certified Reiki master with additional Reiki certifications in the end of life and hospice care.
Yes.
That's so much more professional.
Well, we can be real and professional.
That's right. So I wanted to bring you on to the podcast because I don't want cancer to always seem as it's the end of life, but there's a lot of, we've talked a lot about grief and how there's so many different factors of grief, and it doesn't necessarily mean death. It can mean you're grieving the loss of a relationship or, you know, I'm just going to say, for example, the loss of my breasts, that's an amputation, right?
Absolutely.
So, and you and I were having that conversation. I thought it was going to be really important for you to talk about that. And so the listeners had a really deep understanding that there is help out there. There's people that can talk to and really can relate to it. So I would love for you to elaborate a little bit more on the services that you offer and how it can be beneficial to not only a cancer survivor, but the caregivers as well.
Right. Well, you know, grief isn't something we choose or don't choose. It's part of life. It's a human experience. And so, you know, it's important to move through it with tools because it can be like a rebirth, right? So life can be renewed, but it takes time. It takes awareness and it takes willingness. But the idea about grief is if someone dies, we grieve. Like if somebody leaves, we grieve in a relationship, a marriage. There's so many types of grief. Anytime there's change or trauma, there's usually grief and it's misdiagnosed. So it can look like hopelessness, overwhelm, anxiety, depression. And it's just that people don't know there's tools out there. And so one of the reasons why I'm teaching this grieving mindfully class is because it gives you tools. It gives you tools that helps you transform your grief into wisdom. And grief can look even like, let's just say we talked a little bit about some experiences, but there's a big thing going on now, even with transgender parents. They have to really grieve their child that they raised and knew before. That's a really big thing. Or I'm finding some people in the class are like empty nesters. Like, who are they? They're grieving themselves, who they were. So it can be like who you were as a parent, who you were prior cancer, you know, it kind of all ties in. So it's when we recognize the importance of something or someone, right? So the idea is we're meant for love, but we're also meant for healing. We're meant to remember, right? So how do you carry forward an experience? Because there's suffering, right? And suffering is a way of life. You can't live life without grief or loss, right? And we use those words interchangeably, grief and loss. It's really about reflecting on how we grew, how we gave, how we opened our hearts, our hands, our minds. Like, nobody can take away our journey. You know, we're shaped, we're molded. You know, you're created to have this life experience because it allows you to step forward with like more knowledge and more wisdom. And that's one way to look at it, right? But when we don't have that awareness or that willingness, then we feel like victim, we feel overwhelmed, we feel like we're looping in that way of life, of coping, right, of surviving. So this class gives you tools to move through. And we never really stop grieving, right, just because society tells us to. It's like, there's a lot of things that happen, and maybe you're one of these people when grief happens, like, when your hearts can't move on, it's most likely because you don't feel safe, you don't feel stable, you don't feel protected, and we create patterns to try to search for that. You know, and some of those can look like addictions, but addictions can be exercise, food, over-socializing, you know, sexual promiscuity, but there's a lot of different ideas of addiction, or just what we're doing. Like, we can ground in these railroad patterns where we don't have another way of being. And so really the class helps you through a lot of exercises, through journaling. We do light meditation, but we do mindful practices. And that really helps us to check in with ourselves about what we're doing. Is it causing more harm, or is it propelling you forward, right? So I have this saying on my website, which is self-care is how you take your power back.
I know. And I have that written down and I absolutely love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really about self-care. We live in a world where there's a lot of doing and not enough being. And so that's what I love to teach, is how to be, but how to be with your feelings, your emotions, and how to lean in, right? Because that can feel really scary to a lot of people. And so,
can I interrupt you real quick on that? Because that is such an important factor that maybe we should dive a little bit deeper into, because as women as a whole, you know, it's always been, you know, I like to preach that, you know, self-care is not being selfish. You know, you have to do it in order to take care of anyone else. It's like the whole, you know, meme or whatever with, you know, I was a flight attendant in my previous life. But you put the oxygen mask on first before you can take care of anybody else. Well, the same goes for anything else, whether you're, you know, healthy and you're just trying to navigate your wellness journey, or, you know, you're going through cancer, you're going through a diabetes or whatever that is. It's really important that we focus on that self-care, because we need that. We lose confidence. We lose a lot of things going through a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is too, is I think when you're grieving or surviving cancer, like, you have to remember who you were before, right?
Right.
That's the thing, and embrace who you're becoming, because there's a pain that has to be embraced, and you're searching for that meaning, right? And we're trying to do it with our minds, but it's really about, how do you do it with your heart? And what does your body want? What is your body saying? Like, it's a new check-in. That mind, body, spirit is really that holistic care. But if you're just thinking all the time and doing and trying to be productive, then you're out of alignment, right?
Guilty.
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
Guilty.
So, and we think it's a luxury to do self-care, and it's really not. It's like the whole word is balance, right? How do we get in balance? Well, it's, how do we get to our heart? How do we get to our mind? How do we get to our body? So the checklist of production, you know, it's kind of a three-way street. And that's the idea of beingness, right? How do we be in the world? And you can't be there for someone else if you can't be there for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes just being there for someone can look like being able to listen without interrupting, right? And really hearing them and honoring exactly where they are without changing it. That takes stillness. That takes an open heart, right? Takes an open mind. Having compassion, that's another thing, is everyone's journey is different. Like, we should celebrate our differences because we can learn from them, right? We have
Absolutely.
So much to teach. Just by being willing to listen to somebody else's pain, journey, experience. But just understanding the uniqueness of grief, like your unique scenario, is different from mine, and how we honor that process and how we support each other and lift each other up. And it's just about being there fully in body, mind, and spirit, not just about doing. Like, a lot of people want to just do, like, go, 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 plan, plan, plan. But what about just sitting together and being like, what grounds you? Like, what grounds you? What would you say?
You.
You personally, Shannon, what grounds you? Like, if you're thinking, oh, I just want to get grounded for a couple of minutes, like, what's your go-to?
I like to go out for a walk.
Yeah. Being in nature is like being close to God, spirit, divine. Like, it's, you're the, it, there's an energy there that is sacred, right? The
I like to
birds.
See my ducks. I like to see my little ducks.
The animals. Petting an animal can be really grounding for a lot of people, or just hugging a tree, having a picnic, like feeling the sun on your body. It's very nourishing, right? Even that for 10 minutes a day. It's about, how do you do a mindful practice even for 10 minutes a day? It kind of can reset everything. So it's like before you're going into a hard conversation or a meeting, or, you know, switching gears from work to home, can you just take 10 minutes, like, and just sit in your car and maybe just listen to some high frequency music, or just listen to your breath and take 10 breaths. Like, one of the exercises is in the class that we do on a weekly basis, and I change out the saying, is like, just take 10 breaths in. But when you inhale and exhale, I try to give a new saying. So like, I let love lead, or let it be easy. Even doing that 10 times can just reset you. Or like, one of the little tricks is, maybe you want to do it before you, or when you leave, or when you enter a doorway. What's your trigger? Like, or is that a red light? Maybe just do 3 breaths. So everything helps sometimes, you know. It's kind of like in marketing, everything works sometimes, but it's the same thing in self-care. Everything works sometimes. So it's just a matter of like, what you really connect with. Is it meditating? Is it being in nature? You know, is it, it could be just be a creative outlet. Some people can draw, paint, yoga, because it's, you know, breath to body. But the other thing is, it's just about a mindful practice. Like, we all have tasks we need to do. So one of the exercises that we go into deeply on how to do it is a mindful task. So for me, I always use doing the dishes, even if I'm loading them into the dishwasher. So maybe some people like to do dishes by hand or not, but it's just about, how do you stay 100% present? Like, the temperature of the water, the weight of the plate, the suds, the sponge, like only thinking about that one task, not the 10,000 things that are going through your mind. So one of the ideas of mindfulness and why grieving mindfully is important is you learn these tools and techniques. It's like, when you break your arm, it's casted. You don't use it. You rest it. Well, how do you rest your mind, right? How do you not use your mind? Because that's, we have to heal our mind, right? From trauma, from tragedy, from grief. It's through mindfulness. And so the idea is learning the mindful practices, you can incorporate them into your day. So self-care doesn't look like a spa day where it has to be scheduled out and you have to spend hundreds of dollars.
And that's so elaborate.
Yes, right. That's what we've decided it is, or maybe not. It can just be a few minutes, or maybe 10 minutes, or 20, or an hour, or whatever you decide. And it usually grows. It's gradual. It takes time, right? It's not just, you don't just master it. It's like, you don't just go to the gym once and you're totally fit, or you don't just have a healthy salad and then, you know, that's your diet. It's a continuation, like, of eating healthy or exercising. How do you become a master at anything is consistency. And so that's why I like to teach the tools. The class is also recorded. So it's a 6-week class that goes through a lot. We use the book Grieving Mindfully, which I have here to show you. And so there's 2 chapters a week. There's mindful practices, and it's a consistent 6 weeks. So you might be doing a few things on your own, you know, in class. It kind of seals everything in. We move on so that you're learning. So it's how you transform grief into wisdom, right? It's a practice.
That's awesome. I do want to take a moment just for our sponsor, and then we'll be right back. And I want to hear more about the class, but I also want to hear more about everything that you do and that you can provide to help others, and then maybe offer a couple tips that someone could start with to get started with today. So we'll be back in just 1 second.
Yep.
This podcast is sponsored by the Shannon Burroughs Real Estate Group, where we are committed to changing the world one smile at a time and giving back to breast cancer and our communities. Did you know that Shannon Burroughs, our founder and lead realtor, is a breast cancer survivor? Shannon found her purpose at the intersection of passion and pain while navigating her own journey and wants to give back and help others. At the Shannon Burroughs Real Estate Group, we're dedicated to providing exceptional service to our clients while also making a positive impact in our community. For every home sold, a portion of our commission goes towards supporting breast cancer organizations to help women on a local level and be a resource through their journey. We believe that everyone deserves a safe, comfortable, and happy home, and we're here to help make that a reality. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing in our real estate, we'll be with you every step of the way. And when you're working with us, you will not only be supporting your own goals, but also helping others through their breast cancer. So choose the Shannon Burroughs Real Estate Group, where you can trust that your dreams and values are in good hands. No matter where you live, we can help you. Visit our website at shannonburroughs.com or give us a call today at 561-494-6389 to learn more.
All right, welcome back. So I'm super excited. You have like shared so much value and so many great nuggets that I hope people are sitting here listening going, oh my gosh, like I can't do that. I feel like I can't ever just slow down and just be mindful of things, but you've really like, your voice is so soothing. You're very compassionate. Like you've allowed me, like you've checked in with me several times and it's been awesome. And I love that. And that's why God brings us together at certain times in our lives with certain people. And yeah. This podcast being second season is, even though the name is Busting Out of Breast Cancer, and the first season was mostly about, you know, my journey, how I navigated my first year, 2 years, whatever. And then obviously having a platform for other survivors to share their stories as well and how they come out thriving. But this season, I really want to encompass more of how I literally came out busting out of breast cancer and how I've like looked at life in a whole new way and all the people that have been involved in my life, you being one of them, and how you've helped me. Even though I'm 5 years out, it's still a process. You know, there's still things that, you know, can set you off. Like for me, like sometimes when I just go to like move my boobs and I'm like, God damn it. Like, I hate that I can't freaking feel them. Like, it pisses me off. So that's a trigger, like immediately brings me back to there, even though I'm 5 years out and I'm like, oh, okay, like I'm so past this, but no, it's just another reminder. Or like, you know, someone will bump into me and they're like, oh my God, so sorry. I'm like, yeah, I don't have any feeling anyway, so don't worry about it. Like, you know, it's just like that constant reminder. But yeah, so I think your tools that you can provide are good for anyone at any point through their journey or their experience through life, whether it's a new diagnosis, whether you're 1 year, 5 year, 10 years out, whether you're the caregiver. I mean, let's be real. A lot of people don't talk about the caregivers and what they're going through because, you know, as a spouse, I can see that as being like, you talk about grieving the loss of yourself, but a spouse grieves the loss of their spouse prior to that diagnosis or amputation. Like, let's be real. Like, I don't have real boobs. Like, that's not sexy, you know? So there's that, you know, component of it as well, dealing with the caregivers.
Yeah. So there's grief for everybody involved, right? Cause when we have a change, right, or trauma, there's grief. And so sometimes you're so busy trying to survive, then you can't care, right? Where you feel like you can't, you're just doing, going. And the idea really is, it is about everybody sharing their experience, right? Because everybody is affected, and mm-hmm. honoring each process, right? And some processes take a different path or a different journey. And what you mentioned earlier as well is triggers. So triggers it's a big part of life. We're triggered constantly. How do you manage the triggers, right? It's just about taking a minute when you're starting to feel that emotion, instead of reacting, take a minute and just listen, you know, go beyond, like underneath what that emotion is. Like, what does that mean? You know, what is my body saying? Instead of reacting, because that's when we're triggered, we're reacting from a survival mechanism. But it's not true, because you're in past time, right? The present time is a new moment. So just leaning into the feelings and choosing your response. But there's also a thing I can't remember, and I wish I could quote who's where I read this, but it's about there's triggers, which that's a whole awareness of being. There's a book about when you have a thorn, or you know, in your fingernail, or in your finger, when you get a thorn, a splinter, a sliver, you know what I mean? That you don't just teach, you teach when you're triggering, you're teaching everyone to move around this thorn, right? Don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. Instead of just taking a tweezer and taking it out, that's the work, right? But we teach everyone not how to be, not to trigger us. But triggers can be medicine, right? It's the way we heal, we look at them, we shine the light on them, we really get under it and ask a lot of questions. So that's a way that we work through our emotional pain and trauma. But the other thing is there's a word called glimmers. It's kind of like a catchphrase now. Glimmers are like, life can be really heavy. There's a lot of stuff coming at us, but the glimmers is the lightness, and it all floats away like joy. Like you have to really hold on to it. You have to look for the joy. You have to seek the joy. So that's what we call glimmers. And like journaling, like that 10 things to be grateful for, five things before you go to bed to be grateful for. That's glimmers, right? Like make sure you have that balance of, you know, glimmers in your life, because that's how you master the triggers as well. Is you're training the brain to relook at everything, both sides, right? Because if one idea is possible, well, so is the other. So how do you train your brain is like, that's a way of self-care as well, even in the trauma, even in the surviving, even in the mechanism of, you know, embracing the people who need the support. And I think too, sometimes we're in shock about who can support us and who can't. Right.
Yeah.
And that is a big deal. People aren't always built to show up in the way we need them. And it can be the most surprising people who do show up or don't. But it's like honoring everyone's process and what they can do. Right. So not having the expectation and the demand is just allowing the people who can show up to show up, because they're the gifts, they're the angels, right? And allowing everyone to be in their process.
And that's a very challenging thing to do the older you get, because I think everybody, you know, you're kind of trained to have, you know, expectations with people, right? Whether you're an employee, an employer, you know, you have boundaries and whatnot of friendships, relationships, parenting, kids, whatever. And I'm trying to go through this whole journey of expectations and not expectations with Briley, our 15-year-old. And it's hard because as a teenager, you know, and in the whole dating world or whatever, you know, you have expectations and you're going through high school and you have this and you have that. And I'm really just trying to help her realize, like, just let people be. Like, they're going to, you can't control people. And I don't care if you're 15, you're 50, whatever, you can't control people. So just let people be. And it's either going to jive with you in your life or it's not. Mel Robbins, actually, Mel Robbins today on my walk today, she was talking about some words that were said, let it, let them, whatever. It was like, you know, oh, so-and-so doesn't want to do this. Okay, let them. So-and-so doesn't want to do that. You know, they're doing this. Okay, let them. Like at the end of the day, like our world, our life is our own journey. And I think once you can finally realize that like your life is your own journey and you're meant to live it for you, your own experience, as we like to call life, like once you realize that and you realize these other components, your spouse, your kids, your friends, whatever, they just happen to be part of your experience and they can come in, they can go out, but at the end of the day, it's yours. There's a book that I read called 1,000 Little Things, Happy, Successful People Do Differently. And it's one of my favorite books. It's like the easiest read. It's usually like, I don't know, 2 pages maybe is like some of them. Today was like 10 things. Basically just being like grateful for everything you have. Like, don't worry about the things that you don't have. Like, just be grateful for what you have. And like, just, I wish I had the book with me sitting here, but it's a great book, by the way, 1,000 Little Things, if you've never read it.
Yeah. Well, gratitude for sure is one way to retrain the brain, right? And it's, and that's what it is about, retraining the brain. But what you're saying is let it go, just allow people to be where they are and allow them to show up how they can. When we let go of our expectation, and I don't mean our boundaries, I mean our expectation of the shoulding on people, right? Life feels in the flow. It feels a lot easier. We don't feel as agitated. We don't set ourselves up for failure. It's just like everyone's making their decision based on their experience, what they need in their life, where they are, you know, and their experiences. Nobody can think like you because they're not in your body. They haven't had your life experience. They don't know what you know. They only know what they know. So if we're in this allowance, there's this yin and yang. There's this flow. There's this ease and grace to like how we connect, right? If I'm in allowance to your journey and you're in allowance to mine, that's oneness. Like that's really how we connect and see each other and, you know, open up to something else. What else is possible?
You just said, look, speaking of triggers, should haves, like, or you should. Like that is one thing that like literally makes me want to punch somebody. I know that sounds super aggressive, but I actually made a social media post about it. It was like, it's all you have to do is change the words. Like, have you tried this? Like I have somebody in my life who a lot of times likes to say, you should do this. You should do that. You should do that. But why? Because you think so?
That's usually a projection on themselves.
Correct. Right? Whereas, yeah. And I've explained this to my daughter. I'm like, don't let people tell you what they think you should do. Do what's right for you, because you're like, what's right for you might not be right for me and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all I can do is, whether it's my daughter, my spouse, my friends, all I can say is, have you tried? Or I may have gone through something similar and this is what worked for me. I'm not saying that it's going to work for you, but it's just, I think how you word it, you know, it's just suggestions. Like again, recognizing and allowing that it's their own life journey and experience. And they're just trying to have conversations, you know?
Yeah. And also I think when people are saying the should, you know, I think they're trying to save you from an experience or pain, and that's not going to help them. You're actually not supporting them, right? It's not supporting, because they need to have that experience to grow them, right? They need to make the mistake. They need to come up against the wall. They need to take the U-turn, you know, because our life is a GPS. We can reset it at any time. We're always at choice, and every moment we can choose anew, right? So there's no wrong way. We just reset. And so that's allowance, right? And so when we're accepting of, okay, if that feels good for you, you know, it's what they need to experience. You're almost taking from them if you're forcing them to do it your way.
You know, right.
You're more harm than good. Like it's okay to say, when I'd had that and this happened to me, they can take that into account. But at the end of the day, they know what's right for them, right?
Right.
Just like, that's what life is. That's like, I think as you get older, there's an awareness, there's a wisdom, especially in your 40s, 50s, 60s. Like that's before then, it's all dress rehearsal. You're practicing, figuring out who you are, what works, what doesn't work, right? And it's through your life experience, because that's what you remember most, not what somebody told you, what actually you lived. And that's the beauty of just, how do you support somebody? You
that's
know,
right.
One of the best questions I think you can ask somebody is, how can I support you through this? Makes people stop and actually think what they need. Mm-hmm. Most times they're just insurvivable. They don't even know what they need. Like, let me think about it. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's just, God, I would love it if you just made a home cooked meal and bring it over. Like, that gives you like
purpose.
30 minutes to just rest or whatever
yeah.
it is, like, that allows support. It could just be, can you pick my child up from school or take
yep.
them to the, you know, whatever it is, like asking is also the opposite, obviously, of giving, right? It's a receiving. And again, we can't always be the giver. We have to be the receiver. That's the flow. That's the reciprocity of life. Because if you're not willing to receive, then you're kind of stealing somebody's joy of giving, right?
Yeah, so we had this conversation.
Oh, no, I can do
yep,
it.
Yep. We had this conversation and it totally hit, because I am famous for always wanting to give, but like not receive. But that in turn is basically shutting someone down from being able to give. And who am I?
Leaning into the uncomfortableness of receiving, because that's going to give you an awareness of what's wrong with receiving.
And who am I to deny someone of wanting to give something, whatever that is, time, energy, whatever. Like, that's not my job. That's not my position. Shame on me. You know, I will say though, that the older I get, especially like turning 50, I'm like, holy crap. I think I know who I am.
Yay! Me too.
And I know what I don't want. And sometimes I catch myself of trying to explain things to Briley and I'm like, wait, she's 15. But at the same time, I'm like, just think how much like more of a better human being that she would be if she would like actually take all the advice that I try to talk to her about, but whatever, she's 15.
We always say that, right? Oh, I wish I know now.
Yeah.
But I did when I was 25. Life doesn't work that way.
It's nope.
Not designed that way, right?
Nope.
So
hey, real quick, you said, you know, how can I, my words are, how can I help you? Like not necessarily like, what can I do to support you? Cause it's like, what can I do to help? Like, for example, today, Briley was like, she fell asleep even though I walked out the door. And I was like, okay, how can I help you to expedite this process to get you out the door without being stressed today? Like, that's it. Like, how can I help? That's it. And if they say nothing, but okay, you've done. That's all you can do. You offer so much more than just, you know, helping people through grief. You do Reiki, you do access bars, you do rituals and blessings, memorials and grief. As a spiritual practitioner, you obviously stay very, very busy. Would you like to share with the listeners what your mission is and where they can find you?
Yeah. So my mission really is to take these spiritual practices and teach them right into the world, into the community, because I want to see people thrive. It's our natural state to thrive. Like, unlocking our potential is how we can thrive. And so I travel all around, so I can do day retreats, classes online. I do Reiki circles, in person and online. A lot of my classes and workshops are taught online and in person, but also actually in sessions. And so I'm local here in Florida, and from Jupiter down to Fort Lauderdale, there's many offices I can work out of and do work out of. And so you can find me on dwellinspirit.com. That's my website, which will give you an overview of sessions, classes, grief, memorials, everything that, you know, I've been called to expand into. But you can follow me online on Dwell in Spirit. And I also have the Dwell in Reiki. So Reiki is my first passion. It's my first love, like aligning your energy and allowing that technique to bring you back and remembering who you were and just resetting, realigning with your true spirit. Like, self-care is how you take your power back is my tagline to my website. But truly, it is about honoring where you're at and starting where you're at, and then taking that one step to ask or seek the assistance, the help, the expansion. And so I hope that you find something on my website that inspires you. I'm always open for counseling and for sessions, for classes. That's where I am called and feel blessed.
That's amazing. Well, I am super grateful that your tagline and my tagline mesh with me changing the world one smile at a time. So I am super grateful that you've come into my life to help me change the world one smile at a time, because being able to have you in my life has been amazing, but being able to share your gifts with so many others in my life and the listeners on this podcast and anybody else that we come across, I'd love to be able to connect you. I know I've connected a few people on Instagram with you, just because I feel like you just have that connection that a lot of people need, and maybe they don't even realize they need, you know? So thank you so much for being here and sharing your gifts with us. I appreciate you. Remember, you can go find Michelle at dwellinspirit.com. At least, you know, follow her on Instagram, Facebook, all the things, and reach out to her at least for a session and just get to know her. As you can tell, she's got a very soft, healing voice, and she is super, super, super amazing. So please reach out to her, Michelle Sloan at dwellinspirit.com. Michelle, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. And I know that our listeners are going to love hearing you as well.
Oh, thank you, Shannon. Thank you so much.
All right. Love you, girl.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us on Busting Out of Breast Cancer. We hope you found our podcast informative, uplifting, and inspiring. We want to remind you that you are not alone in this fight against breast cancer. If you or someone you know needs support, please reach out to a healthcare professional, breast cancer support organization, or me. I'm always happy to listen, chat, and help any way I can. Remember, early detection is key, so please schedule your regular cancer screenings. Also, if you're in the market for a new home, looking to sell, or start investing, don't hesitate to contact me, your favorite fun realtor and podcast host. Together, we make your real estate dreams a reality and make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest, please reach out to us at smile@shannonburrows.com. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week on Bustin' Out of Breast Cancer.